Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. Hi there, this is Tess with a quick note. If you're listening to this episode just as it's released, you know that we are in the middle of an unprecedented pandemic that's changing everything in our lives and businesses. And I truly hope you and your loved ones are healthy and safe. This episode was recorded before the pandemic changed the world, and I want to keep providing you with marketing and business tips as usual. I also want to go back to providing normal content, since many of you might be inundated with or tired of hearing about the COVID-19 right now. However, if you're subscribed to my newsletter, you will also get useful tips and resources on how to handle this pandemic, how to market right now, and much more. Now, let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators. How are you today? I am doing great. When this episode goes live, I will have turned 50. It sounds old, I know, but I have to say that I think this decade will be awesome. No crisis of getting old here, just excitement for me. In this episode, we're going to talk about raising our rates, especially raising our rates without scaring away clients. The translation industry is filled with price pressure and the threat of machine translation these days. Is it still possible to raise our rates then? I believe so, and so does my guest today. Before I introduce her, though, I want to do a listener shout out. And this one goes to Steph P. from the UK, who left the following review. I've recently started listening to the podcasts and I love them. I especially listen to them during my commute because it's a sort of a relaxing time for me after a long day of teaching. They are full of great tips and advice, which I look forward to implementing in my business as a freelance translator. So thank you so much, Steph. I really appreciate you taking time to hop onto your podcast app and leave a review. Now I would like to welcome back Martina Russo to the podcast. She is an Italian and Swiss Italian professional translator. She's also a business owner. She's an outdoor enthusiast. If you're not following her on social media, you should. I love following her adventures. She's a true world citizen. She recently talked on the Financial Success Summit in January about how to raise our rates without scaring away our clients. And I thought that was an important topic to share with you guys. So welcome back to the podcast, Martina.
Hi, Tess. Thank you so much for having me again. And I'm really honored to be speaking on your podcast again.
It's a pleasure to have you. So before I started the recording, we were talking, and right now you are in the middle of nowhere in Greece, correct?
Exactly. I am on a really long-term, indefinite trip, I guess, with my cats on a tiny house across southern Europe and right now in Greece, rock climbing and snowboarding as we go, and obviously working.
Yes. Isn't it fantastic we can do that these days? And that I can call from Park City, Utah, to you in a sort of tiny house, mobile home out in the middle of nowhere in Greece and talk.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Yeah, it's good to be alive in this age, especially.
Yes. So for people who don't know you yet, tell us a little bit about yourself and your career in translation.
So I started out translating kind of on the side when I was still studying. I did a bachelor's degree in translation, interpreting and communication studies. And I started in 2010. And pretty much from the start, I started like doing translation as I studied. And obviously, I had no idea what I was doing, especially because at the time, there was nothing online to, well, just very, very few resources, including you were already online, I'm pretty sure, because I was always reading like your blog and looking up to, you know, your content. And then obviously I started out and I was doing, I did all the mistakes that we, you know, that you do. I accepted like nightmare projects, something in into English rather than into Italian, which is my native language, financial book, which is, I know nothing about finance. So like, yeah, it was definitely terrible. Like I started out and I think that particular project was something like 200 or 300 pages and it was being paid 300 euros. But for me, coming from, especially in Italy where the wage was really low, for me, 300 euros sounded like a lot of money. It was half of what I was earning in 1 month. So that's my mindset when I started working in translation. And I always had, like, for the first couple of years, maybe, I kept having this mindset of I am not the service provider, but I am the employee and my client is my employer. So I kind of had this mindset coming from jobs, you know? And then I went on. And because my studies were involved marketing, then I kind of found myself studying more marketing stuff than anything else. And then I kind of started for myself as well, you know, to launch my business and everything. And then it kind of fell into place. I started specializing in marketing translations. And then in the meantime, I started traveling the world, still doing this on the side. I launched the business officially, I think it was 2013 or 14. Can't remember anymore. And then I went on to do a master's degree in audiovisual translation. And now it's been pretty much, 10 years because it's 2020. And yeah, that's pretty much my
career. I think even for me with a marketing background, I think we do need to make those mistakes in the beginning to learn and to actually change our mindset and develop. So I think most freelance translators are making some of the mistakes we all do in the beginning before we sort of become entrepreneurs. So, okay, you talked about how to raise our rates at the Financial Success Summit for translators in January. So my first question is, do you think it's possible to raise our rates with our current clients?
I think it is harder to raise rates with your current clients because you probably, I mean, if you're already working with them, you're probably have established some sort of relationship with them. And it's going to be very hard for you to step forward and ask for, you know, more money unless you're charging really, really low rates. But even then, they're used to what you're charging. So it's going to be a bit complicated. I'm not saying it's impossible. I know there are people who actually manage to do it. For me personally, I think it's more beneficial to just charge more whenever you get new clients and just go forward in that direction.
And I remember in the beginning, maybe I was charging too low in the beginning then, but I kept raising my rates every year. However, now I know that I've reached a ceiling with at least with agencies or translation companies. So if I want to raise my rates any further, I need to do it with direct clients. That's how I feel. So so you say it's hard. So but if we want to try, how can we do that then without scaring clients away? Just find new ones, or how would we do it with our current clients?
So again, I think it's, I guess it's easier to, if you really want to do that, you really have, I think, to have a really good relationship with your client. So you have to have developed this relationship where you really work with them and you're kind of indispensable. You said in English, indispensable. So you provide so much value that they kind of can't refuse. So you're either really, really niche down and it's really hard to find a replacement, or they just love working with you because you really bring in a lot of, you know, like return on investment that they're doing on when they spend on translations with you. Otherwise, it's just easier to, you know, keep those clients. You need to be able to raise your clients, sorry, to raise your rates. Even with new clients, you need obviously to be in a place where you can afford to do so. So if you are starting out, maybe it's hard because you need that income, you need that client base. So it's normal that you accept, it's kind of normal that you accept like a lower rate. But if you are in a good place and you feel like you can now start to expand a little bit more and that you're in a position to do that, then you should definitely try and raise your rates even by just a little bit with each new client that comes your way.
Okay. So how have you done it then? What tips do you have when it comes to marketing and prices? What should we think about?
So I think one of the things that doesn't really get talked about a lot is that, especially if you go into any Facebook group for translators right now, you're going to see a lot of people complaining that other translators were charging less or ruining the market. And so, you know, this kind of threat. But I think it's that there is not just one market. There are several markets and several market segments. And that's really good because that means that you can choose the market segment that you want to position yourself on. And that can be, you know, a market, for example, where there is a small business owner and obviously they're never going to have a lot of money that they can invest in translation, or maybe they don't want to, or they don't care about the quality. And then there is going to be a different market segment where they put a lot of importance on translation and they have the budget and they want to invest that budget. So, and those people, yeah, sorry, you want to say something?
So if we feel like we are the clients are offering low rates and we want to change that, we should start looking at other market segments.
Yes, that's what I've done. And I think also, I mean, obviously you also need, you can't offer the same thing to both segments, I would say. Yeah. So, you know, you need to, in order to charge higher rates and to appeal to that market segment, you need to deliver something like special, something extra. You need to, I know this is kind of a buzzword by now, but you really do need to provide value to these clients.
So what segment did you sort of start focusing on then instead of what you were working with before?
So I went through like 1,000 phases and I started out, as I said, with, I don't know, privates and companies that didn't really have a budget and or smaller companies. And then and also translation agencies that I started out that. Like there's also different market segments for translation agencies, obviously. So I also started out with bottom feeders in translation. And then I realized that actually, you know, I'm good at what I do and I can actually offer more, but I can also charge more. So from there, it took me actually many, many years to really realize what kind of companies I want to work with. And so for now, for me, for example, I went from whatever to really just working with companies that I would say are mid to big sized. So that usually means that they have like several millions of yearly turnover per year. And I always go and check on, I use some tools online, which change all the time. But for example, Owler.com can usually give you a pretty good idea of how much money they make. And the reason why I go and check that is because if they make that much money, that they can probably have, like, at least I know that they do have the budget.
And then the next tool again, so we can share it.
Yeah, it's called, I think I mispronounced it. It's owlor.com. Owler.
Owler.com. Okay.
Yeah, like the bird. Yeah, and it works not just with American companies. It also works worldwide, so it's pretty handy. But also, like, if you look For example, on British, for British companies, they have to declare stuff on their, you know, government website, and everything is public. Mm-hmm. So that's like one good tool that I use to decide, okay, is this client in my market segment? Mm-hmm. Can they afford my services? Mm-hmm. And that's the first step. And then I go and look at the way that they actually do business, which I can tell, for example, by the way, the language they use on their website, for example. So that's, when it comes to agencies, that means as soon as they see language like competitive, affordable, blah, 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 then I just close the window and move on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like if a big agency, for example, makes a lot of money, like that's, you know, a lot of the cases. But that doesn't mean that they are willing to spend a lot of money on, you know, on you as a translator. So that's another tool that I use to integrate.
Mm-hmm. So do you work more with agencies or direct clients?
I currently work more with direct clients. And yeah.
So do you feel then if you are targeting the bigger clients, do you think it's easy then to approach them as a freelancer working only into one language? Or do you feel like there's a resistance and they just want to use an agency that deal with multiple languages?
I think it really depends on the case. So for example, it really depends. I mean, for a couple of direct clients, I am in touch with, they have like a translation team mm-hmm. inside of the company, but they only deal with four languages. So it's easy. With another one, he deals with like seven languages of eight. But he already has people for those languages, so he can work with me singularly. But I also, I'm actually just developing a second website right now, which mm-hmm. is aimed exactly at doing this, because I do get a lot of requests for multiple languages as well.
Yeah.
So I also have that, like in case they want like four or five, whatever languages, then I can do that mm-hmm. as well. I can offer that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you really need to understand your client to, if you really want to, charge higher rates. So I have one client which doesn't really care how much I charge him. He okay. just sends me a brief and he goes like, yeah, I don't want to know how much you charge, just do it, please. And yeah, and I know that what he wants is that his copy is written like impeccably, but in a, you know, in on tone of voice with the website
mm-hmm.
and that it converts and it connects with his audience. So I charge him what I think is an appropriate rate for the value that I bring to the project.
Mm-hmm.
But then I never just deliver the translation and that's it. Mm-hmm. I always deliver it. I actually help them out sometimes checking your languages. Just, you know, I just have a look and I spot a couple of typos sometimes. And then I go and check the website online. I send a report. So I always like do that extra thing to help them out and mm-hmm. make sure that everything is right. Even if it's like a couple of months from now, you know.
So is that within a specific niche then? So they know that you are an expert within that niche or?
Yeah. So I have two specializations and one is in marketing and advertising and digital and one is in action sports.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that you really want to niche down and specialize in a specific sector industry
mm-hmm.
because then you become, you know, the go-to person. And then again, you become indispensable. And then it's easier to charge higher rates.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do you have any negotiation tips?
So negotiation is something that I'm still kind of working on because it's especially, I think I don't have any issues when it's smaller numbers, like in the hundreds. But as soon as it becomes in the thousands, which sometimes it happens when I get asked inquiries about like multiple languages and big, big projects.
Mm-hmm.
Like ideally, if it's a direct client, you always want to try and give like three options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the basic one, the middle one, and the higher tier one. And then like, statistically, the client is always going to pick the middle one.
Yes.
So you're always like going to fall back into your initial budget.
Uh-huh.
And instead, if it's, I would say, like an agency, always aim a little bit higher, and at least that's going to give you a little, you know, at least a few cents per word of negotiation. Yeah. And just never be don't be afraid. If you do your own if you do your research and you check, you know, how they talk on their website, what kind of work they do, if they put more emphasis on quality or on price, you always know more or less, you can always more or less anticipate if they are going to be able to accommodate your rate or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the topic of your presentation or your talk at the Financial Success Summit and for this podcast is how to negotiate or raise rates without scaring away clients. So how can we do that without scaring away clients?
So it kind of falls back into this, what I was talking about earlier, when you really do need to have a good relationship with your client. And I think a lot of us just do this once a year, like typically at the beginning of the new year or something. Mm-hmm. And I would really only do that if I've been working with this client. Because again, for me, it's easier to like charge more to a new client. But if I really do want to charge, to raise my rates with an existing client, which typically I do with agencies, actually. I actually do that with agencies. Mm. I will tell them, you know, we've been working together for a while and we've, you know, I've been providing this and this and this. But sometimes I don't even need to tell them because that's already there in the relationship. Like they already know.
Yeah.
But from now on, because of this and this reason, I will have to charge this much. And unfortunately, I cannot charge less. Yeah. I can afford to charge any less. But typically I do that when I know that they can actually accept more. Mm-hmm. Or for example, where I have so much expertise in one specific niche that it's going to be really hard for them to find someone else. Yeah. So I do that in a specific niche. And a few of these agencies actually initially were like, we're not sure if we can do that, but they always come back to me. Mm-hmm. Because there's really no one else that they can give the work to. I mean, there are some people, but it's not easy to find people you can actually trust to deliver good quality work.
So you have more negotiation power when you become sort of their preferred linguist in a specific field and language.
Yes, I mean, there is a lot of, especially because I also do contract other translators, and it's incredible how many of us, how many translators, but even, you know, designers, in any industry, you really struggle a lot to find people you can totally trust with timely deliveries, and just the quality of the work. So it's really hard to get that right. So when you find someone, then you don't really want to let them go.
I've also heard or had situations where an agency said, we can't really afford you anymore. But then they still come back to me because they have used a more affordable translator and had such a bad experience that they sometimes have to redo the translation or something. And then they come back.
Oh, yeah, of course, that happens.
Because we save them. We actually save them either time or money in the end.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that happens quite a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know that also a lot of translators tend to get upset about, you know, when an agency tries to pay them less or something. But, I think either, you know, I never reply with anger or giving like a bad reply. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, no problem. Good luck with your endeavors and see if you find someone. And then, you know, when it's really important, then they always find the budget.
Yeah. And I always, like you said, I explain why I charge what I do, that it's based on more than 15 years of experience. And I do have 2 certifications and I have clients that can vouch for me and so forth. But then I also try to put myself in their situation or their shoes and say, I understand your situation too. So I hope we can sort of come to an agreement or if we can't, then I understand your situation because they are a business too.
Yeah. I mean, just someone on, I think 2 or 3 days ago, got in touch with me for a project, potential project, and they wanted me to take a test and leave my details in their, it was an agency, details in their database. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can we, let's talk about rates first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my rates and their rates, we had something like 8 or 10 cents difference. So there was no way they were going to be able to meet in the middle. But I think it's important to always have that positive, I guess, way of approaching the whole thing rather than being upset or, you know, feel insulted or because it's 6 cents.
And that is a mistake that a lot of newer translators do. They fill out all these non-disclosure forms. They do the test and stuff. And then they realize that they haven't negotiated the rates first. So, and I know I did this mistake in the beginning too. But now I'm like, yes, here is my information. If you think we're a good fit and you agree with my rates, I can send my resume and I can do this and this. But first, let's agree on the rates.
Exactly. It's going to save all of us, including the other person, a lot of time and energy.
Yes. Yes. All right. So any other tips on rates and stuff? I know you had a really great worksheet or handout at the Financial Success Summit. Is there anything you would want to share with our listeners from that?
I think it's pretty much, I think one of the things that you really want to do when you're trying to decide on raising your rates, just make a lot, like do a lot of work on yourself first and your brand identity, how you present yourself, how you communicate. I think that's really, really, really important. Mm-hmm. If you really need to work on how you project yourself, your professionalism to the world first. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, decide which market you want to work with and then just take it from there.
Yeah, yeah, those are good tips. So, this is what I ask all of you. And so I think in our previous interview, we talked about LinkedIn. So I will also link to that episode in our show notes so they can check out your other interview, but what marketing strategy works really well for you right now?
So right now I have a bit of a crazy craziness going on because last year I launched a separate business, I mean translation business, which mm-hmm. is the one that specialized in action sports. Yeah. So I am keeping all my assets separate. So I have LinkedIn and on for the one in marketing. Mm-hmm. I actually haven't been posting a lot, but I do get inquiries a lot on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. because I used to post a lot. So I still have people somehow finding me or coming to me. So I really optimize my profile in a way that I get a lot of inquiries through LinkedIn, even if I don't, put out content. Mm-hmm. I don't really use Twitter for this, business because to be honest, I don't know. I just don't know how to use Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then I have the other, agency, agency is more like a team of us working with action sports. Yes. And for that, I go to trade shows, because I'm really in my element. I really enjoy doing that. So I go to industry trade shows, which really, really works. I bring home a few clients just through that every year. I do have Twitter accounts for that one.
Okay.
I kind of try to use. And then I use my Instagram account just related to that business. And I've just also started, and I've got a separate website, and somehow that one skyrocketed my online presence in this industry, and I get a lot of leads through that website.
Do you mind sharing these links to your websites?
Of course. So I put together one website, which I actually just put together yesterday, and that one is just for me as a freelancer, or like the, you know, just me as the one translator. Mm-hmm. For companies that want to work with me, and that's it, which is martinatranslates.com. Mm-hmm. Then the other one is theactionsportstranslator.com, which obviously is the translation action sports industry. And then the other one is actually being redeveloped. So it's going to be ready in a couple of weeks. Now, right now you have like the older version out, which is moving word translation.
By the time this episode is published, though, I think it will be updated.
All right. Yeah. So that one is movingwordstranslations.com. And that's the marketing, obviously, the marketing translations one. So I've got three websites, which is a bit crazy. I know.
That's a lot to keep track of and update.
It is. But I mean, two of them are just very static and the other one is a little bit more.
So which one is it that gave you a lot of leads?
For some reason, the action sports one is so niched. It's so niche and somehow it went up to the first results on Google. Uh-huh. And every time that someone is looking for anything related to translation and action sports or sports, my website comes up first. So I get a lot of like big brands contacting me just through the website. I also did
That's a good domain name you have then.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I don't even do any blogging right now on that website. It's just a one page website with a tiny bit of content, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. Because it brings me so many leads, but I've just literally been fighting with my laptop the whole day today to try and set up this blog because I want to put out a little bit of content as well because I think that's really going to help. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do basically for these three
businesses. So if people want to find out more about you, I will link to these websites in the show notes. Anything else you want to share with the listeners?
Also, in the martinatranslates.com, I will put up a second page because I've been doing quite a lot of webinars now just speaking, podcasts and stuff about anything from marketing to brand separation. That's one that I did last week. LinkedIn, just stuff in general. And I will try and set up a second page where I list all these resources and everything, which is going to be super easy to access for everyone. Okay. And apart from that, I'll
link to that too.
Awesome.
And you have the laptop that calls the freelancer at work, right?
Oh yeah, also. So I also have that, which is something that I started out for fun. I think it was 2015 because I was working remotely from Croatia. And then people were looking at me weird because Digital Nomad was not that like hype yet. So I did a little like sticker, which is a bit different. It's like lettering for the laptop that said translator work. Mm-hmm. And then everyone wanted one. And so I set up a website and I started selling them.
Okay.
So yeah, if you go to freelanceratwork.co, you will see them.
Okay. We will also link to that in the show notes.
Awesome.
So thank you very much for your tip. So basically, yes, if we want to raise our rates, we need to find clients that are willing to pay us more, to sort of summarize our discussion here.
Yeah.
It's no secret, the higher our rates are, the more money we can make. And even though this is common sense, most freelancers resist this when it comes to raising our rates. I know I have been hesitant too until I've tried it and I seen that it worked. The most important thing is that we actually are active and marketing and sort of changing the way we're thinking. So freelancers who are committed to making raising their rates and earning more, they make an executive decision to raise their rates and then try to find the clients that can pay the higher rates. They don't ask, should I raise my rates? They ask, how can I get the clients that pay me higher rates? So thank you, Martina, for the great tips today.
Thank you for having me and thanks everyone for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. Now I encourage you to go out and try some of the tips in your business to make sure that you don't miss any other interviews or episodes with marketing tips. You can subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast listening app. I would also like to hear what you think, so please take a minute to leave a review. I read every single one of them, and by leaving a review, you actually increase the chances that other freelance translators will find the podcast too. So thanks again and have a great week, everyone. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.